Welcome to a Talk Nation radio special with one of Alaska's leading progressive radio personalities, Shannon Moore. I'm Dori Smith.
The nostalgia of that and thinking, wow, a girl from Alaska can do this, that's so exciting to me. But I know Sarah Palin, and I know her policies, and I'm telling you, we're in big trouble.
Moore's blog, Just a Girl from Homer, is attracting a lot of attention because she knows Alaska Governor Sarah Palin and has interviewed her many times. We take a close look at the controversy surrounding Palin, her church, prayers for Walmart, prayers for mergers between people and corporations.
God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built, so pray for that.
As well as a message to parishioners. Help us push through a $30 billion pipeline project. We also discuss Sarah Palin's legislative style, the fact that her record on campaign funds and more is getting scrubbed from government sites, her history with Alaska Senator Ted Stevens, controversy over Governor Palin's support for a huge sports dome for Change Point Church in Anchorage, Palin on childbirth, Palin on pregnancy, Palin's rhetoric about the Iraq War being supported by God, and more. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Your blog and your radio program has gotten a lot of attention because of one Sarah Palin. Just explain how you know Sarah and what your work has been, you know, surrounding interviews with her and talking about her on your webpage.
Certainly. I'm a lifelong Alaskan and have been a commercial fisherman. I subsistence hunt. I do a lot of the same things that Sarah Palin does. All the things that are making her charming right now are pretty ordinary to a lot of Alaskans, Alaskan women and men. And when she became the governor here, certainly I'd seen her out and about. I've been in the political circles for a long time. She became governor because the governor before her, the former Senator Frank Murkowski, who ran for governor, as governor he was able to appoint his daughter to replace himself in Washington, came in and in his 4 years' time just really was able to make pretty much every Alaskan who had ever lined up behind him pretty disappointed, to say the least. And he actually only, I think, in the primary with Sarah Palin, got 19% of the vote, which is just amazing for an incumbent in a race like that. And at the same time that that primary was going on, there were also the FBI raids happening with many of our state legislators who had sold their vote to big oil, and they are sitting in prison now, many of them, for selling those votes that he actually was purporting. So he was a very unpopular person, and she was a fresh face and part of this sort of splinter sect of the Republican Party at the time. So when she came in, there was a feeling of, okay, well, maybe she's not one of the bought Republicans, which this whole maverick tag that's been put on her is really a myth, because in the state of Alaska, to be a maverick Republican, all you have to do is not be indicted. Well, she certainly has hired an attorney this week, so that washed away even that part of the myth.
Evidently, Sarah Palin has ties to an independence party that believes in secession. And this is a clip where Sarah Palin is addressing a meeting of the Alaska Independence Party. This from the website Daily Kos.
I'm Governor Sarah Palin, and I am delighted to welcome you to the 2008 Alaskan Independence Party Convention in the Golden Heart City, Fairbanks. I share your party's vision of upholding the Constitution of our great state.
Daily Kos also has audio of Dexter Clark, who's the vice chairman for the Alaska Independence Party, and here he is discussing Palin's roots with his party. Now, this isn't very good audio, so bear with us.
Our current governor, who I mentioned the last conference, one we were hoping would get elected, Sarah Palin, did get elected. There's a joke, she's a pretty good-looking gal, the joke goes around that we are the coldest state with the hottest governor. And there's a lot of talk about her moving up. She was an AIG member before she got the job as the mayor of a small town. That was a nonpartisan job. But to get along, to go along, she eventually joined the Republican Party, where she had all kinds of problems with their ethics.
Shannon Moore, this seems worth asking about. What's the history here? Was Palin a member of this Alaska Independence Party, or what can you tell us?
I don't know that she was part of the Alaska Independence Party as far as that goes. As far as supporting the secessionists, I mean, there's a lot of sort of independent thinkers in Alaska. And when you look at our party affiliations, there are more people that are nonpartisan, more people that are independent than are Republican and Democrat combined. I mean, we've got over 52% of people in Alaska that are either part of a fringe party or nonpartisan than we have the regular two parties. The Independence Party of Alaska, Alaska Independence Party, yeah, there's a huge push for us to secede from the union that we feel like sort of this basically a money laundering operation for the rest of the United States when it comes to our resources. We've been colonized by big oil, by fisheries, by timber. You know, they come in, these huge global conglomerates, they come in, they buy our legislators, which, you know, we have proof of that. They're sitting in jail right now. And then, you know, they extract as many resources as they can from the state, and we don't really feel protected by the national government. In fact, they're right in the same pockets. You look at Ted Stevens' indictments, seven indictments. He's been working for them for a long time. You look at Don Young. He, too, is being he's under heavy investigation. So, you know, there's some good reasons for people to feel bitter, but Alaska's a funny place. I mean, it's a lot of people who want to be around people who don't want to be around any people. So there's this different sort of spirit. When you look at, you know, if it was Wyoming trying to secede from the union, it would be real awkward. For us, you got to drive through a different country to get to Alaska. We're closer to Russia and Canada than we are to the United States. You know, and so there's always been that little rumbling. And I've been interviewing a lot of people for a project because we're coming up on statehood. Our 50th birthday is coming up here in January. And I've been interviewing people who didn't want to join the union for these sort of reasons. So there's still people hanging out that were fighting statehood 50 years ago. So there are still people who were fighting statehood that are around leading some of these parties.
Now, there's also a video on Huffington Post of Sarah Palin at prayer and her church, in fact, praying for a pipeline to go through. Who does that help, really? It's hard to really follow the train of her thinking there.
Right. What part of the world would Jesus drill? Yes. That, to me, is really interesting. There have been a couple of instances that I've been critical of her of exactly that, the separation of church and state. She does not have that in her mind. In fact, a year and a half ago, there was about $1.5 million in the state budget to give to a church that was building a sports dome, yes, because they thought that that was what Jesus really wanted. So they were given this $1.5 million. Well, I was really upset about it. The sports dome, certainly owned by this church, was going to be in direct competition with people who had already taken business risks, who didn't put a big cross on the front of it. And when it came down to it, there was enough local pressure that the preacher of the church gave the money back. And she said, "I'm so glad that Pastor Clausen gave this money back and didn't make me make a very difficult decision." And I thought, wow, why was that a difficult decision for you? Why would it be a difficult decision for you to say, this is state funds, we're not going to be funding a church to have a sports dome, for God's sakes, you know? So there is a real fundamental line that she doesn't have a real clear cut on between politics and her religion.
Shannon Moore, what happens if she's vice president and the Wasilla Assembly of God, or Ed Callens, the pastor there, you know, approaches her to, let's say, try to make a statement about something he mentioned during a, you know, time when he was praying over her and speaking to the parish about this drilling plan, this pipeline, asking also people to pray for that and pray for her, and they were praying over her? And what happens if Pastor Ed Callens of Wasilla Assembly of God asks our future vice president, Sarah Palin, for help with some religious matter? Will she have a difficult choice to make there too?
I don't think it would be difficult for her. I think that she would be happy to help him. And I think this in the sense that, you know, Sarah is not a fake. She's very unlike this administration. She actually walks her talk. I just happen to really disagree with a lot of her talk, but she's not a fake. And I think this administration that's in now, the Bush-Cheney and sort of the Rovian administration, you know, they don't want to make abortion illegal. They don't want to overthrow Roe v. Wade because it is a carrot to make people vote. And it is a carrot for both sides. And were they to try to overthrow that, well, then it would be a carrot for the other side to vote, and they'd all be out. Sarah Palin would not think of it that way. She would think of it as God's work to get abortion absolutely inaccessible for anyone. And I've asked her about it. I live in a state, sadly, that has the highest rates of incest, the highest rates of rape, the highest rates of domestic violence, highest rates of suicide. I mean, we have a lot of issues here that aren't worked on. And so I asked her point blank. I said, in the state with the highest incest and rape, do you still believe that the choice of abortion should not be available? And she said no. She was asked about it again. She said, if my own daughter were raped, I would choose life. So when we're looking at these things, she really believes that. And she could actually point to her own life and say, look, at 44 years old, I was told my child had Down syndrome, and I still chose life. My 17-year-old daughter became pregnant. We still chose life. She has shown in her life that that's really what she believes, and I can respect her choice for her family and know that she has the resources to take care of that. But she doesn't have the same respect to other American families, other Alaskan families, to make that decision for themselves. So were she to become vice president or president, and we've got Supreme Court nominations that will be coming up, I can tell you that that will be a litmus test for her.
Well, listeners can go to Daily Kos to hear all of what Dexter Clark of the Alaska Independence Party had to say, including his admission that when he goes into schools to talk to young people about secession, they give him the thumbs down for America and the thumbs up for Alaska, and they cry Alaska first. So, you know, it will be interesting to see if the corporate press ever compares that kind of rhetoric to the kinds of things that did trouble some Americans about Barack Obama's pastor, who used this fiery rhetoric about America. Now, he also talked about a lot of issues that trouble the poor. And, you know, I don't want to start to make this oversimplified. I mean, we should talk about at length what some of these issues are. But just in terms of shorthand, the way the press has covered this, you know, there's this question of Sarah Palin's strong ties to an evangelical church and to a secessionist group. The evangelical church also, by the way, working openly to help her advance her political career. Here's Sarah Palin is talking about the founder of the church, I believe, who prayed that she would be governor.
And he's praying not, oh, Lord, if it be your will, may she become governor, whatever. No, he just prayed for it. He said, Lord, make a way and let her do this next step. And that's exactly what happened. So, again, very, very powerful coming from this church. So that was awesome about Pastor Muthee. Yeah.
Stay right. This is awesome.
Ed Kalnins, senior pastor at Palin's church, the Wasilla Assembly of God, chimes in. Then we'll hear Palin asking people in the parish for their help in prayer for a legislative matter having to do with a pipeline worth $30 billion, she says.
And a lot of people are looking at the state for our vast wealth that we're embracing right now. We're the richest state in the union in terms of natural resources, our oil, our gas, our minerals, the gold that we have under the ground. We're very, very rich. But our most important natural resource, of course, is our people. And I'm thinking, what I need to do is strike a deal with you guys as you go out throughout Alaska. I can do my part in doing things like working really, really hard to get a natural gas pipeline, about a $30 billion project that's going to create a lot of jobs for Alaskans, and we'll have a lot of energy flowing through here. And pray about that also. I think God's will has to be done in unifying people and companies to get that gas line built. So pray for that. But I can do my job there in developing our natural resources and doing things like getting the roads paved and making sure our troopers have their cop cars and their uniforms and their guns and making sure our public schools are funded. But really all of that stuff doesn't do any good if the people of Alaska's heart isn't right with God. And that's going to be your job. As I'm doing my job, let's strike this deal. Your job is going to be out there reaching the people, hurting people throughout Alaska, and we can work together to make sure God's will be done here.
So Shannon Moore, she's interpreting there that God wants the contract to go through in this legislation she's talking about.
Well, the first part of that prayer to bring companies and people together, when a government official is praying for that or legislating for that, basically, that's fascism. When you as a politician are wanting to create laws or some sort of protections for companies, I mean, that is the definition.
But what about this sort of angle of a cult that we can also pick up on here? Here, finally, just one more clip from Governor Palin's request for prayers from the Wasilla Assembly of God Parish, her church. And she's sounding here a bit like George W. Bush, who tended to create the impression he thought God was in support of his deployment of the U.S. force to Iraq.
Pray for our military men and women who are striving to do what is right also for this country, that our leaders, our national leaders, are sending them out on a task that is from God. That's what we have to make sure that we're praying for, that there is a plan and that that plan is God's plan. So bless them with your prayers, your prayers of protection over our soldiers.
Shannon Moore, your thoughts about this?
When you're asking me about praying for our men and women in harm's way that are going into war or into an illegal conflict or whatever you want to call it, for me, you know what? I had no problem praying for the troops, but I'm reminded, I think it was Abraham Lincoln who said, "We pray that God's on our side. I pray we're on God's side." And being able to excuse illegal military actions by saying, "Let's pray for this," is really, really disturbing. And when you say, "Has she been properly vetted?" I think what they were looking at, I think that what the GOP was looking at was electability. And they're looking at a shiny new person to bring onto the national scene who isn't well known, but when they're looking at the polling that's going on in Alaska, well, she's very popular. And I know her. I like her as a person. I have a certain amount of respect for her that she's not propounding things that she doesn't believe in. I just don't believe in the same things. But the fact that she's not a fake is something to admire, but it's also something terrifying at the same time. Was she properly vetted? I think what they were looking for was electability. I don't think that they were looking for competence and ready to rule the country. They're looking at electability right now, and maybe that's something that they'll get when you're talking about these words that the base looks for, you know, this sort of God bless and all of these things. But she's not well-versed on things, and when it comes to things like knowing when the Pledge of Allegiance was written or not knowing that Under God wasn't put in until the 50s, it's like, really? I thought people knew this, but no, it's going to be really interesting because she's never had the media spotlight on her. Here in Alaska, there's been a couple of people, talk show hosts or bloggers that are Republicans, actually, who have really gone after her. But it's been personal, and they have Republican vendettas against her because of the old guard being dismantled. They've tried to hang it on Sarah Palin that it was being dismantled, but really it was the FBI taking these people to jail. That has nothing to do with Sarah Palin. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I can tell you, I would be so happy if an Alaskan woman was in the White House. I mean, the nostalgia of that and thinking, wow, a girl from Alaska can do this, that's so exciting to me. But I know Sarah Palin, and I know her policies, and I'm telling you, we're in big trouble.
I've seen photographs or video of her sitting on a couch made from a grizzly bear. And it's hard to place that woman in a room at a meeting where, let's say, the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act is being discussed. I just want to ask, I mean, these are the issues that are going on in Alaska. Does anyone ever question her skill, her ability to comprehend, like, government and how policies work on behalf of people, or you know, whether...
Oh, sure. People have been questioning that ever since she got in. But when you look at any major piece of legislation that she can hang on her hat, who she's been able to get it through Juneau with is the Democrats. And they've the only reason that the Democrats have been able to get anything for Alaskans is because they've made concessions with Sarah Palin. I mean, the AGIA, the Alaska Gasline Inducement Act, had she not had the support of Democrats and them not having her put in things like trying to get, you know, Alaska First Hire or things like, you know, to that effect that are important to Democrats, certainly, then she would have never gotten this passed. Every piece of legislation she's got passed has been she's had to make concessions to the Democrats because the Republicans just absolutely wouldn't do it for her.
During our interview with a woman named Lucy Beach, who was speaking on behalf of the Gwich'in tribe about the Anwar and their concerns about this region and the idea that it would now be subject to possible drilling. They're very worried because of the way they view that region, but also because they've been very shut out of the discussion about this idea of, you know, setting aside the protections for the Alaska Wilderness region. So she told us, though, Lucy Beach told us, that tribal members there have been long cultivated by both corporations and also politicians. Can we view Sarah Palin as someone who will be a kind of negotiator for Washington, you know, sort of a someone who can work with both the oil industry and government officials and agencies on subjects like regulation or drilling in the Anwar? And at the same time, I mean, her husband's an Eskimo. I'm thinking she's a kind of a diplomat who possibly could help further the co-opting of tribes and Alaskans into the process that the Republicans favor, which certain corporations also benefit from.
Wow, I think that's a giant stretch. I think that's a huge stretch. First of all, the native corporations in Alaska, they have been very much compromised, and they basically pay off their members in several different ways to go along with their environmental exploitation. I mean, there are some ways that you can come into Alaska and certainly take out the resources that are progressive, that they protect the environment, that they provide good jobs for families. There are ways to do that, and some of those industries are doing that. But, you know, the fact that Sarah Palin's husband is a tiny percent Eskimo, I mean, he's not Nanook of the North, for God's sakes. He drives a snow machine. He works on the North Slope. He commercial fishes. He's like a whole lot of other people. And the first time I ever heard that he had any Native blood in him was during this vetting, public vetting that's happened. When it comes to Sarah Palin's concern about the environment, let me just tell you, it's not there. She has said that she stood up to big oil, and in certain ways, the legislature did. They went back and revised a tax against the oil companies that had the previous one is the one that we've got people sitting in jail for selling their votes to. So that's not exactly doing the right thing, and trying to reverse a corrupted law is not standing up to big oil. But right after that, she stood up for big oil, and she sued the federal government for putting polar bears on the endangered species list. Now, when George Bush's administration puts polar bears on the endangered species list, you can bet your bottom dollar it is probably too late for the polar bears. And now, as a state, under her administration, we are suing the federal government to get polar bears off the endangered species list. Why would we do that? Oh, because it affects drilling on the North Slope.
Well, I'm not suggesting she would effectively represent the Gwich'in or Eskimo. I'm more suggesting that she would help sell policies. You know, there are deals that need to be made. And I would recall that some of the people in the secessionist group that were making this speech and talking about her, they actually mentioned that Alaskans get only some 12% of royalties from oil companies taking these resources. So I can't help but wonder if they might not believe she'll get them a better deal.
Well, I don't know about getting a better deal. She will not, as vice president, be able to negotiate any of that. I mean, that is a state sovereignty issue. And she's done as much as she's going to do for that. Although, being in Washington, she definitely could loosen up ANWR restrictions and get ANWR open. And I don't think that a lot of the people on the North Slope, that's not what they're for. Some Alaskans think, you know, we should have opened ANWR 20 years ago because technology has developed differently than when ANWR was locked up. Some people are interested in having the T10 region, which is the western region, which does not have calving happen in it. They're all about that. And so they're like, oh, well, there is one part that now we can, you know, do the sideways drilling. You know, it's a big discussion here all the time. But just recently, we had a proposal. We have a permitting process here that was terribly loosened by Governor Frank Murkowski, who she beat as an incumbent. And he loosened up all sorts of clean water laws. And one of the things he did was create mixing zones for salmon streams where there is now a tolerated amount of pollution to go in. Well, there is a Canadian mine coming in, and they're trying to permit this Pebble Mine, which would be the largest open-pit mine on the continent. It's right at the headwaters of the Bristol Bay fishery, which is the strongest, largest wild salmon fishery in the world. Now, Todd Palin, Sarah Palin, have fished in that region for years as commercial fishermen. Well, because she would not make the water standards stricter again after they had been loosened, because basically what they would say is, if you're going to come in and be a mine, you cannot pollute the salmon watershed. You can't dump arsenic or cyanide into them because it will kill them. And we have 54,000 fishing jobs in this state. We're not ready to trade 5,000 mining jobs for 54,000 fishing jobs and a way of life and a subsistence life and a really pristine part of the world. So we put a ballot proposition together, a ballot initiative to have all of Alaskans vote on it. The mining industry from Canada spent almost $10 million on this, trying to tell Alaskans how to vote on this. It was very simply written. If you're going to have a mine over 640 acres, you have to have clean water standards. Sarah Palin came out 4 days before what was going to be a very, very close ballot initiative, came out and said she was going to vote no for the clean water ballot initiative. I interviewed her the day after she did this. I said, how could you do this? She said, well, I took off my governor's hat. And I'm like, and you think people can't figure out that you're the governor with the governor hat on or not? You're a Bristol Bay fisherman. How could you possibly affect an election like this? And she said, well, you know, I'm not very politically correct. And I said, why didn't you just say, look, I trust Alaskans to figure out what their priorities are and to vote on Tuesday. That's being a governor. And she was like, well, you know, I wasn't coming out as a spokesman. Then within, 12 hours of her and I having that discussion on air, her picture was in every single ad on a media blitz over the entire state, and the ballot initiative to have clean water failed. I mean, she has a huge effect, and she stood up in that case for an industry that has, in every single instance, Northern Dynasty has polluted water. You know, I've seen interviews with Bruce Jenkins, the head of Northern Dynasty, where he said, we will have no net loss, meaning we'll restock the rivers with what? Farmed fish? We have a wild fishery. We have pure food. We have one of the last great races of salmon, and it's called red gold where we live. Salmon is red gold because it's invaluable. You know, it's just you can't even put a price on what it would really mean to Alaskans to lose that resource. And she stood up for the mining company in this instance.
You're listening to a Talk Nation radio special, an interview with one of Alaska's leading progressive radio personalities, Shannon Moore. Her blog is Just a Girl from Homer. You can listen to our program every Wednesday at 5 p.m. at FM 91.7 in New England. We're located at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut, whus.org online. Or you can find us online at talknationradio.org. And if you write to me at talknationradio@gmail.com, I'll tell you how to join other stations in airing the program. Talk Nation Radio is syndicated through Pacifica Network, pacifica.org, and you can hear it in a variety of states.